right, guys, you can begin to find your seats. Begin to find your seats. And this is just a short message. I promise I will get you out of here on time or before time. But this is a short one just to accompany the missions update, because that's my favorite thing to do. But, you know, sometimes we can do a lot of stuff as individuals, as a church, or, you know, as a family. We can do a lot, but we can sometimes miss the point. Or we can sometimes miss the kind of the reason behind why we do it or why we're on this planet to begin with. And so the title of my message this morning is just Living With or Living For Eternity. And to start off, we're in Matthew 6, 19. I heard someone say this. I like it. Open your phones to Matthew 6, 19 through 21. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. You know this verse, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And I'm going to do this a few times during the sermon. Notice the progression of the verse. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where the treasure, where the time, where the money, where the resources is, the heart follows. The treasure, the resources, the time, it leads, and the heart follows. And so the question to ask yourself during this Christmas season is, where do you want your heart? Where do you want your heart to end up? Because that's where you sow your time and your resources and your investments and your things. Where do you want your heart to end up? Because if you say you want your heart to end up in earthly things or on earth, then you can just sow your time and stuff into earthly things. But if you want it to be eternal, then we live for eternity. Matthew 9, 35 and 36. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sick. He's doing all this stuff, healing every sickness, every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them. When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. Again, notice the progression. He saw them, he was moved with compassion, because so often we kind of get this backwards. We want it backwards, right? We say, Lord, you know, give me the passion, give me the compassion. Lord, help me to have this move my heart, and then I'll go and serve. Or Lord, you know, kind of move me this way or nudge me that way, and then I'll go and take care of people. But no, Jesus went out, and when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. So I encourage you, if you have nothing moved within you when I said about the homeless outreach for Tuesday, you're just kind of sitting back, you know, nothing. I encourage you, still come on Tuesday and see. You know, you can do pretty much anything. You can cover 30 minutes over your lunch break. I don't know, however, hands on, hands off, but just come and see, because this is the order that God wants. You go and you see, and then moved with compassion. Jesus tells this story in Matthew, where he tells the story about a man that travels through a field, and he either trips over or he's digging, or he finds this treasure in this field, and he kind of digs it out with his hands, right? And it's this priceless treasure that he's found, but he can't take it because it's not his field. And so he kind of covers it back up, and he goes into town and he sells everything he has to buy the field. And Christ is saying, this is the kingdom of heaven. He's basically saying, hey, if you get this, if you understand this, because one day when you stand before Christ, you stand before God and you have your judgment, and he looks at all the things, he's going to say, this is what you wish you would have done while you're on earth. Because you get, what, 80, 90 years here on earth, and it's this mist, this vapor, and you get this one chance to make a difference for eternity, and a lot of us don't do it. We don't take a line. You know the old saying, we live our lives for the line, not the dot. You live your life for eternity, for the line, not the little dot on the line. So we have this chance to make a difference. This is why we're here on this earth. We have this chance to make a difference, and we can find what really matters. And Christ is saying, it's like the man who bought the field, sold everything he had, and you're going to wish you had. If you find what really matters, you wish you had sold all the stuff that doesn't matter to buy it, to get it, to do it. And listen to me, this can turn into work-based kind of theology so quickly. People kind of jump on it. And there's these two camps, right? There's the grace camp, we're saved by grace, not by work. And then there's the works camp, you know, we do it. And the grace camp hates the works people, right? Like, you works people, you're just too religious and too much law and too much stuff. And the works people, they hate the grace people. You people don't do anything, you know, you need to kind of help us out a little bit. We're trying to do stuff here. And they kind of clash. And I'm here to tell you, they're not opposing views. They're complementing views. And the compliment is this, is that we are saved by grace. There's nothing you can do to work your way into heaven. I don't care what bill of goods someone sold you. You can't do anything to work your way into heaven. It's the grace of Jesus Christ, and what he did on the cross is the only thing that saves us and makes us to heaven, because you're there. God doesn't need your works, but the world does. And so we are saved for good works. We're not saved by good works, but we are saved for good works. And God is saying, I have a whole world full of hurting people and I need you to help them. And so neither camp is right. They both kind of fallen off the diving board at their end of the pool. And we're saying that they're complementary, right? They work together. We're saved by grace, but we need to take care of people. 2 Corinthians 9:7, it says, each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart. And we bolded this word decided because it is a decision. I'm not getting up here to guilt you into anything. I'm not trying to push you and do anything. This is a decision that we make because we're all impacted by someone who made a decision. When you drove on the parking lot this morning, you were impacted because somebody gave to pave the parking lot instead of grass, right? You were all impacted. If you got a cup of coffee during the break today, you were impacted because somebody decided, hey, I want to serve this service. I want to make the coffee and serve it. If you dropped your kids off in Kids Zone or in the nursery, you were impacted because somebody decided, hey, I want to worship in one service. Worship one, serve one, right? That's why we have two services. Somebody said, I want to worship in one service. I want to serve in the next one so somebody else can come in here and be a part of the church. We're all impacted by somebody's decision to serve, to give up themselves. Aren't you glad that Noah didn't say, you know, I just don't do boats. It's just not my, I do other things. I can, you know, maybe a car, God. I just don't do boats. Aren't you glad that Paul wasn't like, you know, well, I like to tell stories, but I don't really like to write them down. I don't like to write letters. It's just not my thing, right? That Paul's, aren't you glad that Michelangelo's not like, you know, I do walls, but I just don't do ceilings. I don't. Aren't you glad somebody made a decision? David's like, well, you know, I do small people, but I don't really do giants. You know, that's just not my thing. We're all impacted by a decision. There are 20, 25 orphans in Ukraine impacted because somebody decided they wanted to take care of them. Let each man give as he has decided in his heart, because God loves a cheerful giver. There's a church in Cuba right now because somebody here decided, hey, I want to give to put a roof over those 120 believers who meet outside. We decide. And our churches are so different. Aren't you glad that Jesus didn't say, I don't do crosses? It's just people, we make a decision to give of ourselves. Acts 20, verse 24, I like how Paul says it. I don't care about my own life. The most important thing is that I complete my mission, the work that the Lord Jesus gave me, to tell people the good news about God's grace. He said, I have decided. But I want to give you three tests this morning. They're very quick. I'm going to give you the answers to them, so I guess it's not really a test. But I'm going to give you three things that you can use this morning to see if what you are doing is living for eternity. It's a very practical message. I'm not pulling punches. I don't have some great reveal at the end. These are just three ways that you can test if what you're doing is for eternity, because it's so important to realize on this side of the grave, so important to realize that what we can do can impact eternity. And it's so important to sell everything we have, go after that treasure in the field. And I have a verse for you, 1 Corinthians 3:12, before we get to the first test. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, and this is talking about the end, you know, you go through the first judgment, which is just basically, are you in the Lamb's Book of Life or not? And then all the believers that pass that first judgment, it's a very quick one, you go to a second one where they put all your work through the fire, which sounds fantastic, right? But it says, if anyone builds on the foundation, if you show up at that second judgment seat and you've got all your works there and it goes through and you've built with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, you can build with different, you get it, right? You can build with different stuff. Each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he gets a reward. It's an eternal work. If what you put on there, and so what I want to help you this morning is to try to figure out, because it's kind of difficult, right? If you're building with gold, with silver, with hay, with stuff, what I'm really saying is kind of saying that right now it's kind of hard to tell what you're building with. You kind of have to test it. And then when you get there, though, it is the final test. So I'm just going to give you a little help this morning, three things, and then we'll pray. The first one is the test of motive. The test of motive, and I almost call this a test of relationship, but why did you do what you did? My little two-year-old Elijah, he was here in the first service. You would have seen it. We're trying to teach him how to give. And he's only two, and so we're trying to work it in there, however it works for his brain. And every time I go on a trip to another country, I let him pick out a few toys for me to take with me. And I give them to kids his age, and I take a picture, and he gets to see each kid that plays with his toy, and or that, you know, that has his toy, and he gets to pray for them, and it's just a way to connect him with giving. And he doesn't get the toy back, and he doesn't get a new toy to replace it. This is like the idea, right? And so this last trip in Western Sahara, I'd taken some of his little cars, and I gave them to a little boy named Mohammed, and he's 2 years old also. And so I kind of showed him the picture, and he was so, my son, I'm so proud, I'm going to brag about him to all of you guys, I'm so proud of him, he was so happy, because sometimes he's like, he sees his toy in the picture, and it's like, he realizes my toy is gone. But this time he's so excited, like he saw the toy, and he's so excited that this little boy is playing in the sand with his toy. And I was just so proud of him. And I don't do this very often. I try my best because I don't want to spoil him. Like, I don't want him to think I give to get. I don't buy him something to replace it. And you know, sometimes that's the same way with us, right? God doesn't just give us stuff just because we gave. He doesn't want to spoil us, right? We don't give just to get. And you know, there's a heresy being taught in the church sometimes where it's to get. You will never hear me say that because it's not true. It's not in the Bible. We don't give to get. We don't do it. We do it because we're in love with Jesus. We do it because we love Jesus. But my son, I was so proud of him. And so he has this bike and it's too big for him. We found it on the side of the road and washed it off, and it's he can't pedal it and it's too big. And so I was so proud of him for giving away the thing. I said, Elijah, you want to get a new bike? And he's kind of playing over here. And he said, no, Daddy, I have a bike already. I'm like, I'm going to buy you 100 bicycles, right? I'm going to like clear out Walmart and buy you. I mean, we got a new bike, right? I am like bursting with pride. In the same way with God, that God looks at us and when we have the right motive, when we say, I'm just so in love with Jesus that I want to give to this person. I'm so in love with Jesus that I want to serve these people. I'm just in love with Jesus. We have the right motive. God just, his heart just bursts over that. Because we have that right mentality, that right motive. And like I said, I almost call it the test of relationship. We have that relationship with Jesus. And you know, that's kind of what separates us from humanitarian and social groups as Christians. Because we do what we do out of love for Jesus. And there's a verse for you have out of Revelation chapter 2. I know your deeds, your hard work, your peace. Basically, Jesus is writing to the churches and he's saying, you know, I saw all the stuff you do. It's great. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. You forgot why you do it. Why you do what you do, the relationship. You're not doing it out of love anymore. You know, why do we serve during a service, or why do we go on a trip, or why does Pastor Maxson serve in Haiti? It's out of a love for Jesus. And you know, if it passes that test, if you can say, I do that out of that, you pass the test of motive, the test of relationship. And the second one is the test of love. And that is when we do what we do, we never forget who's on the receiving end of what we do. Because when we make a difference, it makes a difference in a life. But I've met so many people who work in these social justice circles or in these humanitarian circles who have done it for so long, they become jaded to the person on the other end. They know the schematics. They know how to make the machine work. They know how to make this thing go. And they know how to get, you know, results, but they forget about who those results are. And the second test this morning, the first one is the love of Jesus, the test of love in Jesus. But the third one is the love of people. You can't forget who you're doing it for. Who's on the other trip? Like, why do we have workers serving in Kids Zone? It's not because we got up here on a growth track Sunday and guilted somebody into serving. We serve because that 5 or 6-year-old who comes from a broken home wants someone to hold their hand during worship or someone to talk to or pray with. We serve because we love the people. And we don't forget who we're reaching. And that's why I get so excited to get up here with a mission update for 2015 and show you guys different faces. Apollo in Western Sahara, Marina and Sasha in the Ukraine, Pastor Maxson in Haiti. Show you these different faces and say, this is who's on the other end. This is who we're saying. And it's not like we're going, you know, in these kind of relief efforts. We're not going there and like throwing money, right? We're not just like throwing money at people. We're giving it to these Christians who are making a difference. Paul said it in 1 Corinthians. He said, I give all my possessions to feed the poor. Basically, I give everything away. And if I surrender my body to be burned, but I don't have love, it doesn't pass the test. Love is everything. Doesn't pass the test. So the first one, because you love Jesus. Second one, because you love people. And the third test, finally, is the test of eternity. The test of eternity. Because not all acts are the same. Not all actions. Some people might tell you that. It's not true. Not all things are like this little check mark. Not all good things that you do, you know, you just add up all the check marks and that's your final thought. They're not all the same because some acts have eternity attached to them. That's why when we go to the Western Sahara and we take these water tanks and we take these things and they ask us, why do you do what we do? We attach eternity. Jesus sent me and let me tell you about him. That's why when we go into Cuba, we're not going down there just to bring relief for something. We're going down there to empower the Christians down there to share Jesus. Because if we take glasses and we take water and they're well fed and they can see clearly and they have enough water to drink, but they go to hell, you still lose. Because if we go down there, but we attach eternity to it, we use these different things, we use all the money we took to buy these water tanks, we use it just as a way to kick down the door and bring Jesus through. That's where eternity comes. That's where we've attached eternity. This is where it has eternal value. So the first thing is you love Jesus, you love the people, and then you attach eternity to everything that you do. You attach this eternal value. We bring the gospel. We live strategically. You know, because social justice without spiritual justice is not justice. If there's nothing spiritual attached to it, it's just something else nice that you did, and there's nothing eternal, and they're going to be well fed, but tomorrow they're going to be hungry again. But if you give them the bread of life, if you give them Jesus, you can make a difference in their lives. That's what the gospel is. That's what the gospel is. Luke 16:9, I tell you, use worldly wealth. It's basically saying, hey, Victory Harvest, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves. So when it is gone, when it is done, when you've used it for all that you can on this earth, when you've leveraged everything that God gave us, because it all belongs to Him anyways, you'll be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Basically, when you get there at that day, I want to be a church that leveraged everything. And so, I understand we're all judged individually. But then I believe, and this is my own belief, that there will be a chance where we're all together. And Christ says, Victory Harvest, what did you do with what I gave you? What did you do? And I want to be a church that leverages everything for the kingdom of God. So when we get there, it's this hand clap that we did everything we could to spread the gospel, to spread the kingdom of God, to live for eternity. We did everything we could as a church, so you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. And you know, we want to have fun. We want to have the best Sunday morning services. We want to have At the Movies. I loved At the Movies. We want to have this great time. We want to take care of your kids. We want to have a great nursery ministry. We want to just have fun together, have different things that we do, but that's not all we want to do. I'm not saying any of that is wrong. I'm saying we want to have this great church body, but that's not all we want to do. We want to attach eternity to everything that we do. And that's why I wanted to get up here this morning and pat you on the back, because that's what we did this year and that's what we're going to do in 2016. We're going to attach eternity for everything that you do. Philippians 3:18, I've got a chapter and verse for you at the end here, and it's a hard one. I'm just warning you ahead of time. For as I have often told you before and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. And let's leave it on this last sentence. Their mind is set on earthly things. They live as enemies of the cross because their minds are so rooted in the earth. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. When we realize that we are not citizens on this planet, we are passing through, we start to live for eternity. When we realize that we are just aliens, we are strangers moving through, and all of this is temporary, and our lives are a vapor, and we get these 80, 90 some odd years to live for eternity, that's when we begin to live for things that matter. We realize that we are not citizens of this earth. So we do it because we love Jesus, we do it because we love people, and we always attach the gospel, the eternal things with it. You can put aside all your stuff this morning. My final point, and I can do all this, I can preach all this, but my final point this morning is you have to experience God before you can share Him. If you've been listening and you say, hey, I want to live for eternity, but you've never experienced God for yourself, and let me put it this way, if you're still carrying your own guilt and your own shame this morning, I encourage you to leave it here. Jesus tells this story, while Jesus has His ministry, there's a story where He's in a house and he's just sitting there preaching with His disciples, and this woman comes in, and for lack of a better, she's a prostitute. And she comes in just weeping, almost like crawling on the ground, and she has this, they call it the alabaster jar, she has this jar of perfume, and it says it was a year's wage, so we'll put it by $40,000, let's say. She has this jar that's worth $40,000. And she breaks it over Jesus' feet, and she's just crying. She begins to wipe His feet with her tears, because that's how grateful she is. And the disciples get in this uproar, like, we should have sold this and given it to the poor, and we should have done. And Christ says in verse 47, therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven as her great love has shown. Those who've been forgiven much, love much. And I want to tell you this morning, if you've never heard it before, is Christ loves you. You want to live for eternity. You want to have compassion for people. You need to come to that realization first. So if you guys just bow your heads with me this morning, I just have one point at the end here. And that is to tell you that He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. I don't care who you are, where you came from, what you've done. I want to tell you this morning, Christ loves you. He loves you. He loves you. And if you've never heard that and you're still carrying your guilt and shame, I just want you to leave it here today. So I want you to make that decision. We said it already. Let each man decide in his own heart. I want you to make that decision. If you want to make a decision for Christ this morning, you want to start to live for eternity. I'm not going to make you stand up. I'm not going to make you come to the front. But if you want to make that decision, and every head is bowed, all I'm going to do is ask you in just a second to raise your hand. If you want to make that decision this morning, you want to live for eternity, but you want to experience God's love for yourself first, go ahead and make that decision. And then right now, if that's you, if you want us to pray with you, and we would love to pray with you, just right now, go ahead and slip your hand up. If that's you this morning, come on, guys, we're all just going to pray together. Father God, I pray for these people this morning, Lord. If they haven't experienced the love of God, if they haven't experienced the love of God for themselves, Lord, we pray together as a body of believers that they would begin, God, to let you be Lord of their lives. That you would go into their heart, Lord, and make the difference that we know you can make. Father, and they can begin to live for eternity. They can commit their life to you. We pray for that, Lord. And Father, I want to pray a prayer over every person in here. God, that we as a church, Lord, we are so blessed. And we thank you for every good thing you give us, Lord. And we thank you for every opportunity that you give us, Lord, to reach out, whether around the world, God, or Tuesday with the homeless of our city. We thank you for those opportunities. We don't know how many we'll get, but we're going to take advantage of every single one. God, make us a church that leverages everything you gave us for the kingdom of God. Let us be stars in the darkness, Lord. Let us find other lights, God, that are working for the kingdom and come alongside them. Let us support them, God. Let us be one that gave everything. So when we stand before you, God, we have no shame, no guilt, God. We stand before you and we say, we did everything with what you gave. We did everything with what you gave us. We were so thankful, God, that you were so generous to us that we wanted to be as generous as we could to others. We did it because we love Jesus. We did it because we love people. God, and we told every person we could about you. We lived for eternity. So, Lord, I pray a blessing over these people, God, their hearts of giving. Father, I say a thank you, Lord, that I can be a part of this church and a part of these people. And it's in Christ's name we pray, and all God's children said, amen, amen. Guys, be encouraged this week. Be encouraged this week. Just go, you know, keep this on your mind. We'll see you Tuesday for the homeless outreach. But throughout this Christmas season, keep all these things on your mind to pray for. But then just be encouraged. This is a part of what Victory is doing, what we're doing as a church body. God bless you guys. We'll see you Tuesday.